Blog Talk Radio.
Ralph Pointer, What's Happening? And today is Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. And we're hoping that at some point during the program, the people from Resistance is Existence, who are out protesting tonight in solidarity with Palestine, will be getting on the call. And when that happens, we will interrupt what we're doing because they've got their boots on the ground tonight. And they're trying to find a way to call in on our program because this particular episode is extremely important. I hear an echo, so I'm going to close the mic, but I will open it up at the appropriate time. And what we are saying tonight is a preamble for the resolution to the Pacifica National Board in support of the Palestinian people and the land of Palestine, prepared by Comrade Ralph Pointer. And we're saying that this came as a result of a recommendation on the behalf of the Palestinian people requested by our comrade, Sheila Hamanaka. And Ralph Pointer, one of the directors on the PNB and a member of the local board, WBAI, says, pardon me, once again, we are confronted from afar with the cruel reality of atrocities perpetuated against the Palestinian people. Together with the world, we watch with passive indifference and cry crocodile tears. It's that. The history of the League of Nations and the United Nations informs us that perceived national interest is what dominates all nations. So then we must say, will we watch silently one more time as a whole people are being eliminated? Will we again watch as national borders are redrawn to support imperial powers? Our task and obligation as beneficiaries of capitalist economies must be to cry out in every way possible, in every way that we can, against these injustices, and to make it clear, not in our name. So without further ado, Brother Ralph Pointer, what's happening? And I understand you're calling from a different location, so if your mic goes dead, we will pick up the cause. Brother Mike, Brother Ralph, your mic is open.
Thank you so much for that, Sister Betty. See, you read that with passion because it is a moment when we look at the media and we see Israel rooting out olive trees that are 1,000 years old. What about those people in America who talk about natural resources? When do we speak out against our government? But have we forgotten Franco in Spain? Have we forgotten Pinochet in Chile? Have we forgotten Mobutu in the Congo and the United Nations soldiers' torture of Patrice Lumumba in the Congo? Have we forgotten the UN attent in Haiti? And have we forgotten the American importance or the American work in these criminal enterprises? And so when I say the American, work in that, Kissinger, Secretary of State in Chile, the Clintons in Haiti, and the beat goes on and on and on. And it's in the statement, we must speak out against these actions because as Americans who go to work every day to clothe and house their families, feed their children, pay their education bills, this is not in our interest. And we must speak out loudly. This is not in our interest of the average working American. We do not benefit. And if we did benefit, we would say no because it is morally wrong. It is totally immoral conduct. And so therefore, we must make it loud and clear, economically, with our dollars, politically, with our votes, to local politicians, national politicians, that this action is not in our name. And I'm sure there are many who would like to speak on this issue, and so I'm going to listen, and I'm going to once again ask Professor Louis to help us out, to educate us and entertain us at the same time with this fabulous poetry of Professor Louis, you with us.
All right. Some got a lot and some got a little. Is there anybody left in the middle? Blame your brain till you solve the riddle. Why do some got a lot and some got a little? Anything worth anything comes from work. The earth grows food, but someone dug the dirt. Someone plants the seed you need to make it grow. Someone worked a row with a shovel and hoe. You build homes, roads, you teach kids. You won't get rich from the work you did, 'cause just three people in the USA own more than 160 million other people today. The 160 million could work day and night with all their might, but they will never see the sight of billions. Instead, they got to fight with millions of headaches, heartaches, bad breaks, and cornflakes. And the very richest keep getting more. And who opened the door for the space between rich and poor that keeps getting more for the last 40 years? When the smoke clears, who had no choice? Who had the Rolls Royce and just 1% at the top, in case you forgot, haul almost half the money. We all get what's left. That's kind of crummy and not too funny, and it's true. If you knew, you didn't think it through. That 99%, that's me and you. And with big money comes big power. Every hour when you shower money on politicians, sure enough, they huff and puff. But they go with the money when stuff gets rough, and the politician don't need a special message sent, 'cause he himself is the 1%, and money in government makes the laws that cause the open doors for some to be on top and some to be forgot, and a lot of rich people are born that way. No matter what they say, they don't work for their pay. Some born with billions living with ease, some born with diddly squat living with fleas. It's cold. Some got millions at 3 years old, and we're told we're all equal, but we don't start out that way, and don't ignore that the law lets it all stay and pay money to the next generation and spoil rotten rich kids come in rotation. They run the nation, and corporations and billionaires snort cocaine while you clean the drain. They put money overseas like a disease nobody sees. It slips through the cracks. They don't send no facts and don't pay no tax. And who made the law and who didn't snitch? It's a sure enough bitch. You could go bankrupt and stay filthy rich. And we pay for the roads corporations use. We pay for the airports their airplanes choose. It gives you the blues, and it's not news. But we pay the bailout when corporations lose. We pay to clean up all their pollution. There's no solution to the pollution that surrounds us, all around us. But when it gets you sick, you find real quick. When the doc gets paid, it's us who are made to blow the dough, and not too slow, else you go coughing down the block. The company that made you cough sells more stock. And by the way, most all the stock in the USA is owned by 1/10 of the people today. And if they buy and sell stock, they could clock millions in an hour. It's a really weird power, 'cause buying and selling don't do nothing for no one. It's not fun. It don't shine in the sun. But buying and selling does nothing for no one. And we once found out we could do without queens and kings. Now corporations and billionaires, do we need these things? Check out this question appropriately. What have they done for you lately? So the system was already set with what we're going to get right from the jump. Are you a chump or a trump? Are you rolling in dough or a regular Joe? And no muss, no fuss. The super, super rich do not like us. Throw you under the bus, Gus, and they do not pause to make all the laws, all the rules to make us the fools. And it's in the air, if you really dare, to really care what's really fair. The world don't need even one billionaire, 'cause some get a lot and some get a little. Is there anybody left in the middle? Blame your brain till you solve the riddle. Why do some get a lot and some get a little?
Well, thank you, Professor Louis. Ralph?
Once again, we have Professor Louis to say it clearly, to say it plainly, and to give you a little smile the way he says it. And it fits the profile here of what we're talking about. Nations carving up nations, nations carving up countries, making countries, dividing countries, taking the resources bringing it here, and this is why we began with, we have responsibilities here. We not may not be millionaires, but we call this our country. We call this a democracy. Never was a democracy, but let us try to begin at this point in history to make democracy work. No to Israel kicking Palestine. Thank you. Sister Betty.
Without further ado, because we are about political prisoners, and wherever you have liberation struggles, you will have political prisoners. The price, as Brother Malcolm, whose birthday we are celebrating soon, said, for freedom is death. And I would add, the price, if not death, is death in a death camp, like Mamiya, like Sundiata Okoli, like Russell Maroon Schultz. Sister Ann, your mic is open. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, thank you so much, Sister Betty, Brother Ralph, Professor Louis. Great poetry there. Yes, tomorrow is Malcolm's birthday, and we will be celebrating. There's a rededication to the mural happening tomorrow at about 12:30 at 126th and Old Broadway. People have re-fixed up the whole mural, and they're going to dedicate it in the spirit of African, Asian, black and brown, you know, unity, so on and so forth. So it should be really good. I wish I could be there. But I was reading this news article today, so maybe I have time to read it. It's fairly short, written by a woman who lives in the Palestinian territories, because let us not forget that the Zionist entity, just like this one and just like South Africa, is a white settler state. And that is what they are trying to do, perpetuate their white settler state. So this was in The Guardian today. I live in Sheikh Jarrah. For Palestinians, this is not a quote-unquote real estate dispute, by Lucy Garbett. The threat to our neighbors' homes is the latest chapter in a long campaign to erase the Palestinian presence in Jerusalem. Sheikh Jarrah today smells of dirty socks and rotting flesh. Okay. Israeli police vehicles, known as skunk trucks, have been spraying Palestinian homes, shops, restaurants, public spaces, and cultural institutions with putrid water at high pressure. The water causes vomiting, stomach pain, and skin irritation, and was originally developed by an Israeli company to repel protesters. The stench lasts for days on clothes, skin, and homes, leading Palestinians to joke that Jerusalem all smells like shit. Protesters are also targeted in other ways. They are brutally beaten, arrested by the police, some on mounted horses, attacked by settlers, and sprayed with rubber bullets. These forms of collective punishment aim to stop the growing movement to save Sheikh Jarrah and halt the dispossession of 27 Palestinian families of their homes there. My family has lived in Jerusalem for several generations since they fled the Armenian genocide in 1915. In 1948, during the Nakba, they were expelled from their home in West Jerusalem and found refuge in the city's eastern part. Now we live in Sheikh Jarrah, and my neighbors are about to be expelled from their homes. It's really amazing, you know. Every day for the past month, Palestinians from all walks of life have gathered in the neighborhood to share iftar, the breaking of Ramadan fast, outside homes that are under threat, laughing and sharing jokes, together despite the gravity of the situation. Chants and singing start after prayers, only to be met by settlers' taunts and police repression. Now the neighborhood has been transformed into a military zone. Checkpoints at every turn allow residents only into the area, blocking us off from the world. We must endure this harassment from settlers and police alike for simply living in our homes. While Sheikh Jarrah makes the headlines, this type of harassment and settler violence is not new. Last September, on the day my grandmother passed away, my car was graffitied with "Arabs are shit." Just 2 weeks ago, to celebrate Orthodox Easter, I tried to attend the annual parade held by the Syriac and Armenian communities I am part of. Along with other Palestinians, I was assaulted by police officers and prevented from entering the old city. A few weeks later, worshippers were brutally assaulted as they prayed in the Al-Aqsa Mosque. As Palestinians, we feel every expression of our identity is being erased and marginalized. Israel's discriminatory policies in Jerusalem, including planned displacement, is constant. We are discussed as a quote-unquote demographic time bomb by Israeli planners and officials. In the city, the idea of a demographic balance, quote-unquote, between Arabs and Jews underpins municipal planning and state actions. Since the illegal occupation of East Jerusalem in 1967, Israeli policy has focused on keeping a 70-30 ratio of Jews to Arabs in the city, later adjusted to a 60-40 ratio when authorities said this was, quote-unquote, not attainable. This is done in myriad ways, including settlement construction, wedging in Palestinian neighborhoods, home demolitions, and revocation of residency rights. Since 1967, an estimated 14,500 Palestinians have been stripped of their residency status. In order to obtain ID cards, Palestinian Jerusalemites have to constantly prove that Jerusalem continues to be their quote-unquote center of life through proof of rental agreements and bills in their name. This comes with a surprise home visit to check, do you really live in the house, and has included looking to see if toothbrushes have been used in the bathroom. If Jerusalemites leave the country or reside in the West Bank, their residency status is revoked, leaving them without official documents and unable to return home. Every 5 years, I must present myself at the Israeli Ministry of Interior with proof of my residence in Jerusalem and provide transcripts of any course I have taken during my university studies in the UK. On each visit, we are subjected to humiliating and invasive questioning, and each time we worry they may take away our only way to remain. There have been many attempts to portray the cases of dispossession in Jerusalem and Sheikh Jarrah specifically as isolated individual incidents, painting them as quote-unquote real estate disputes that drag on for years in court. But for Palestinians, Sheikh Jarrah is simply a microcosm of life in Jerusalem. It symbolizes the continuing ethnic cleansing of our land and homes. Palestinians are enduring erasure, marginalization, and displacement, and they are prevented from the basic right of returning to their original homes and properties. A grocery store owner in Sheikh Jarrah recently told me, our entire lives have been just this, oppression, oppression, oppression. They won't let us live. Now, Palestinians everywhere are taking to the streets and demanding their right to life, a life that is free and dignified in their homeland. Sheikh Jarrah is a battle for Jerusalem. After a long experience with Israel's regime of dispossession, we know what is at stake, our very place in the city. And as bombs drop on Gaza and demonstrations erupt all over the country, Israeli mobs with police complicity march in the street chanting death to Arabs, attempting to lynch Arabs and destroy Palestinian shops and cars. Palestinians, no matter where we reside, are standing up together. Our only option is to live free. And for that to happen, Israel's impunity must end. By Lucy
Thank
Garnett.
You, Anne.
Yes,
Thank
I
you.
Thought that was an excellent article by Palestinians.
Yes. We have to cut you off at this point because some of our guests from is Resistance are getting on. We mean you no disrespect. Before we go, I want to open up the mic for Brother Ralph in case he wanted to greet them before I open their mics. Brother Ralph, your mic is open.
Thank you, my brothers and sisters, who live as we should all live, with action other than words. And so thank you for bringing the news that you will not hear on the corporate major media. Thank you. Sister Betty, the mic is yours.
Once again, I want to read Brother Ralph's preamble for the resolution to the Pacifica National Board in support of the Palestinian people and the land of Palestine. He goes on to say, greetings, comrades. This resolution preamble comes as a result of a request by Sheila Hamanaka of WBAI. Once again, we are confronted from afar with the cruel reality of atrocities perpetuated against the Palestinian people. Together with the world, we watch with passive indifference and cry crocodile tears. If that, the history of the League of Nations and the United Nations informs us that perceived national interest dominates all actions. The world watches. Will we watch silently one more time as the whole people are being eliminated? Will we again watch as national borders are redrawn to support imperial powers? Our task and our obligation as beneficiaries of a capitalist economy must be to cry out in every way possible, in every way that we can, against these injustices, and to make clear, not in our name. The next voices you hear are from Existence is Resistance, and you should know that for the past 11 years, Existence from Resistance has funded the trapping of our youth and artists to the land of occupied Palestine. So I'm going to try and open up the mic for Ayman El-Said, one of the co-founders of Existence is Resistance. Welcome, our comrade, to our program. And at the same time, as long as there's no echo, I will try and keep both mics open for Nancy, and we thank you for helping make this program possible. Your mics are open. And
Hello, thank you.
Godzilla Gonzalez, all three of your mics are open. We're going to try to cut down on echoes. I'm going to mute my mic, and you can address our community.
Hello,
your mics are open. Yes,
Hello.
We do. We hear you loud and clear.
So, yes. Yeah, my name is Ayman. I go by Lebanese Ether. I'm one of the co-founders of Existence is Resistance. Thank you for having us on the program. And, you know, I love what y'all doing, bringing awareness on Palestine. You know, it's a very important conversation. And, you know, we traveled to Gaza, you know, in 2009, actually, after the last, you know, after the bombing at that time, Operation Cast Lead. And you know, we were part of that group in order to connect with hip hop artists locally in Gaza, Palestine, and connect them with hip hop artists from the United States and the United Kingdom. And you know, we linked up with this artist named Ayman. His father was killed by an Israeli strike at the time, and you know, we got to visit the site where his father was killed, Allah yarhamu, and we took other artists with us. And nothing has changed in 12 years, unfortunately. You know, that bombing in 2008 to 2009, over 1,000 people killed. There's hundreds of people who've been killed right now. You know, I'm happy to see so much more awareness and people speaking out against the killing and more people willing to say Free Palestine with their chest. However, the power dynamic still has not changed. Israel's still getting away with apartheid, with murder, with killing, with bombing, with torture. That even with Biden in the White House, that dynamic has not changed yet.
Well, I thank you.
We have to find a way to, you know, organize now to push this administration to do the right thing, and by, you know, applying sanctions on Israel, and attacking it the way we attack South Africa with sanctions and raising awareness and trying to boycott a company, bring it down, make an example out of it, in order to bring more awareness on the occupation of Palestine.
Karen Gonzalez, would you like to enlighten us further?
Yeah, hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you for having us. So I had the opportunity to go with Existence is Resistance to Palestine in 2015. You know, I grew up in a household where, you know, Palestine, in a solidarity home with Palestine. We knew about the struggle against the apartheid in South Africa. my parents are from Iwal Mapu, which is known as Chile. And, you know, one of the reasons why it was just important for me to go was because I saw the intersectionalities of what was happening in Palestine, what was happening in Latin America, specifically in Iwal Mapu, against my own people, right? And obviously it's not the same thing, but it has similar characters, right? You know,
colonialism
when,
is colonialism.
Exactly. And, you know, when I think about, for example, in the 1500s, the pacification of La Araucanía, basically bringing in European settlers to Chile because they felt that, you know, they can arrogate and, you know, do better with the land while the indigenous peoples of those lands were there. And obviously they fought back, and they've been holding on to their land for all those years, and they continue to fight now. I actually was in El Gualmapu this past March, where they're being militarized. And sadly, just like Eamon said, nothing has changed. This continues to happen. It's been going on for such a long time. It's important to stand with the Palestinian people because, you know, it's the same struggle. We're fighting the good fight for everyone. And that's why it's just important for us to be there, for me to be part of Existence as Resistance and do what I can to eliminate, you know, these evil powers that be.
Thank you. Nancy, would you please chime in here?
Peace, peace. I was letting them go first. I'm actually driving back from a demonstration in Boston. I'm literally pulling into my driveway, so I didn't want to give you all the background noise and my baby noise. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we're just at a point right now. I mean, it's been enough is enough, but we're at a point right now where, you know, too many people have died. And either, you know, we go all out now and we support the resistance as we should have been supporting. People need to stop talking about, nonviolent resistance. That doesn't work. They've been doing that for 73 years. How many Palestinian babies have to be buried under rubble? How many babies do we have to see that are traumatized until the world says, you know what? Let people protect their families then. You know, this is under international law. Palestinians have the right to resist with arms. Palestinians have the right. This is under international law. So why do people only question it when Palestinians are trying to protect their children? It's just got to a point now where, you know, it's two sides. It's always been two sides. People are just dumb. And in 2021, you don't have a reason. You don't have an excuse to question what's going on. You know, the word conflict kills me. It's not a conflict. I don't understand how people think it's a conflict. If somebody comes to your house with arms, takes your house, you know, kills your neighbors and half your family, that's a fucking conflict. Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't curse.
That's okay. Proceed. Go ahead.
That's a conflict. I'm just so frustrated with it. I'm frustrated with people downplaying the situation. I'm frustrated with people talking about both sides. Both sides. No. It's one side that came and sat on top of another people and are suffocating and genociding them. Like this is, they're murdering our people with our tax money. So when people say, well, why should we care? Because you're paying for the bullets. Because you're paying for the bombs. $10.2 million a day. $10.2 million a day from our tax money just for weapons. We're not talking about financial aid for Israel, the annual financial aid. We're just talking about the military support we give them. Not to mention that the Israeli Defense Forces has Friends of the IDF, which is a 501c3 based in the USA, that raise even more money, hundreds of millions of dollars every year at these big galas that they hold, where people like Simon Cowell donate, you know, $150 million and was bragging about it. I mean, what army raises money for their country in another country? What army raises money in another country for their... Tell me, can anybody name another country that goes and has fundraisers in another country to raise more weapons, more money for weapons that they already get? $10 million a day. It's just,
it really makes no sense. I mean, and look how fast Biden approved $750 million in the weapons sales to Israel. You know, when they take forever to pass a stimulus check to help working class Americans, that takes forever. But to help Israel bomb the Gaza Strip, which is already suffering, already overcrowded, already, one of the most densely populated strips of land on earth. People are already, you know, deprived of basic necessities. And here you have Israel. This is how cruel Israel is. You know, last week, Palestinians were supposed to be celebrating Eid, the end of Ramadan. It was 30 days of fasting for Ramadan, and they were supposed to be celebrating Eid. But instead, Israel started this whole conflict and instigated this whole murder spree of Palestinians in 1948 in the West Bank and now in Gaza. They're just going on a killing spree in every single area that where Palestinians live. That's what Israel is doing right now, lynching people, bombing people, And how do we stop it? What can we do to stop it?
You know, my question to every single human being is to what extent would you go to protect your family when someone's trying to kill them? What
exactly.
would you do if someone was coming to your house with the most high-tech weapons on earth to test them out on your family? What are you going to do? How far will you go to protect your family? That's the question that everyone should be asking themselves. Not why is Palestinians throwing rockets back at I can't even tell you what kind of bombs they use on Palestinians, not to mention the illegal weapons that they've been using for years, from white phosphorus, which burns, melts your flesh to the bone, to things that people haven't seen. And then they have the audacity in 2014, when they murdered thousands of Palestinians in Gaza, then they went and they had a drone conference and started selling the weapons that they were telling people at this conference. Shout out to the journalists that went to cover this, Max Blumenthal and Dan Cohen, that went and covered this conference. I mean, they literally were sick from it, that they were telling people, we just tested this in Gaza, proud of themselves, that they went and tested these weapons and various bombs and guns on children and families in Gaza that have done nothing to them but live on their own land, nothing to them.
Well,
you know,
the crazy thing
like...
is there's a pandemic going on, and you know, people are dying worldwide from this pandemic, and here you have Israel starting a whole new war. You know, the Palestinians have been dealing with a pandemic for 73 years. That's been the occupation of Palestine, unfortunately, you know, and it's like 73 years they've been resisting and trying to bring awareness on their plight. And thank God shows like this one and other shows are bringing awareness and more celebrities are speaking out and the people on the ground are resisting. But, you know, the question is, how can we effectively limit Israel from bombing? You know, it's obviously not the United Nations. It's not the Biden administration. You know, I want it to be the protests in the street. But, you know, what is the next step? How can we target something that will bring, you know, target it economically to bring it down in, you know, a company that's supporting, let's say, Israel directly, and try to bring it down economically, you know, by stocks or whatever, and make it an example so other companies will automatically by themselves stop doing business with Israel.
They need
Ralph,
to make them feel sorry, go
Ralph.
Ahead. I'm sorry. I was just saying that
the mic is
they
open.
Need to make
Ralph?
Them.
Ralph?
Well, it is wonderful. Yes, it is wonderful to hear strong voices with strong attitudes. This is where it begins. And we must understand, those of us who would dare call ourselves Americans, this is an American atrocity.
Yep.
America funds, supports, and directs Israel to have a military presence in the Middle East. And Palestinians are one of major victims of this American policy. And so, as I said, we must talk about our local government, our state government, and our national government. It must reflect in our votes. And those who are talking about the saving of the land, those parties, too, must partake in defeating this atrocity, these people who have the habit and the history of destroying lands and peoples for the benefits of the major nations. Thank you, my brothers and sisters in the street. This is what it takes, and you're not going to hear these voices. These voices on major media, on corporate media, but listen up. And as was said, many of the stations, many of the people on community radio are speaking out. And maybe this time we can put a movement together to stop this. Thank you again, Sister Betty.
But before we end this segment, though, I want to give our three warriors, and that's what you are, an opportunity to come back. But I want you to hear from a couple of our people who have a long history of resistance in America. Joel, your mic is open. Dolores, I'm going to call on you and Ann as well. Joel, did you want to make a comment in response to our three comrade from Existence is Resistance.
Yeah, well, this is very similar to the United States. People here feel more comfortable and everything else, but it's all based on having genocidally stolen the land from the native peoples and then built up the country and built up the entire capital economy of the world through racial slavery, centuries thereof, and then severe discrimination. Now, the Palestinians are, they shine as a bright star in the sky of the one of the few areas where the resistance is as intense as it is. But much of what's going on there is very similar to what's going on and to the history, especially, of the United States. Like this whole battle began because, you know, we read about, well, the ethnic cleansing, and it's spoken about as if it's a thing of the past. But actually, it was a thing of the present because there was a family that was living in East Jerusalem. They had lived there for generations. And all of a sudden, somebody came up and said, I want that building for myself. I'm the real landlord. And produced a deed, I don't know how many decades old, when it was actually in Jordanian territory. And who knows how authentic that is or anything else, but here the Palestinians are in part of land that hasn't been, that particular quadrant of it is being newly occupied now. And the people that are living there are getting kicked out. And it came to a point where in one particular building, the people resisted. They're saying, we're not leaving. And then they began to use the force against them, but they got more force back than they expected. They're drunk with power. They think that they can just get away with anything and that nobody is going to rise up and fight back. And they're finding that it's... the resistance is building very strongly, and also it's a worldwide thing. The demonstrations around the world, it's something similar, but on a larger scale and a more intense scale of what recently happened with the Black Lives Matter summer, when all of a sudden the country was on the verge of a civil war. And also, for the first time in a long time, there were gigantic numbers of people that were crossing the racial divide in order to say Black Lives Matter, in order to protest the not just the police brutality and the George Floyd killing, but what it represented, the deep injustice, which is always maintained by force, and force. And then they call it, well, you know, situation in what I call the Zionist entity. I don't like to, it's sort of a blasphemy to call that Israel, because it's violating all of the premises of the anti-slavery and the ethical things that are thousands of years old in that religion, but have now been forsaken, turned on their heads in order to engage in the greatest robbery, the greatest murder, and the greatest deception and lying in the world, so that the whole question is posed on the governmental level. Well, they have the right to defend themselves. I mean, if you burglarize somebody's apartment and you're threatening them with death, and you've destroyed their apartment, you've ruined their food, and you say you're going to keep it forever because you broke in. And when they try to kick you out, you say, oh, wait a minute, I have the right to defend that. Meanwhile, they denounce everyone else's right to self-defense, who is under attack by the largest military conglomeration in the world, backed by the largest amount of...
Because I want to give other people a chance to also respond, but I thank you, and we will
come
back to you.
Am I able to add to that? Can I add to that?
Yes. That's why I stopped him.
Thank you so much, because he mentioned indigenous, struggled indigenous people here in the United States who've been denied their rights, who were wiped out, but still exist, and they're still being attacked currently. That's what the Palestinians are fighting and resisting right now, because they want to reverse this modern day colonialism, this settler colonialism that's happened against them. There is still a chance for them to reverse this occupation and what's going on. Israel, it's only been 73 years. It's not that long ago. Israel picked the wrong century to kind of, become a state on another people's land. And the thing is, how sustainable is this? This occupation is not sustainable in the long term. I don't know how it's in the interest of even the capitalists to have this state, especially in the modern capitalism, where we have this woke capitalism where people want to spend their dollars on things that aren't exploitative as much. So how can this, how can this occupation be sustainable even in the interest of capitalism? I know, Israel is usually mentioned as a state that exists to further the goals of, U.S. imperialism, but it seems like in the long term it's just going to reach a clash where it's not sustainable. And what is the goal of this state? Is it going to be a nuclear war at the end? Is it going to be a nuclear war at the end? And then people are going to say, look, the religious books were right, all because these Zionists will not give up power, will not give the land back to its rightful owners. They're going to end up leading us to a goddamn nuclear war. And people will say, look, the religious books were right that, apocalypse in Palestine.
I want to let somebody else respond to you. Sister Ann, I know you are also a supporter of the IRA and the whole concept of what is the right of a combatant. That is one of your strong arguments when you support a political prisoners here in America. Ralph, your mic is still open also. Sister Ann, I'm going to let you respond on Brother Dennis, who's fighting a war, a colonial war, in his state. Please, Sister Ann, give us a few words, just a few words.
As a person of Irish descent, we certainly know and we certainly empathize and we certainly stand together with our Palestinian sisters and brothers fighting this racist, colonialist, Zionist state. We totally are on your side. We agree with you. You have the right to defend yourselves by any means necessary under international law. The Zionist entity is what is in the wrong, right? Way back in when, before it was formed, what was the Zionist saying? A land without a people, for a people without a land. So even before they got there, they were already denying the fact that the Palestinian people were living there for thousands of years. And the Palestinian people have absolute right to resist this by any means and every means necessary. And I certainly, as an individual, and my movement, the National Jericho Movement, totally stands in solidarity with Palestine and the Palestinian people.
I want to give Jericho website credit. Every uprising, every political prisoner who is fighting against colonial genocide in Africa, because that's where this is taking place, the Jericho website put it out there. They make it clear. They expose what America is doing. Brother Ralph, did you want to respond? And then we're going to ask Sister Dolores and Brother Dennis if they wanted to respond. And I hope, Nancy, that you won't leave, because you have to give us our marching orders. You have to tell us what you want us to do tomorrow, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, until Palestine is free.
I'm here. I will be here.
And it will be free.
Brother Ralph, did you want to respond to the discussion so far?
Only to say, we will not be silent.
Yeah.
Thank you, my brother.
Okay, so, Sister Dolores, your mic is open.
Hi. I also want to mention that I think tomorrow, in addition to Malcolm X's birthday, I think it's Yuri's. Yuri Kochiyama's birthday also?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great. And just one other thing. Before I talk about the Israeli-Palestinian, quote-unquote, conflict, next month in New York, there's a primary election. We have to let the formerly incarcerated know that in the state of New York, they have the right to vote, but they first must register, okay, because we have our primaries coming up next month in New York.
Ralph said, we've got to hold these politicians' feet to the fire. Our first demand must be against colonialism. In our communities, we are being ethnically cleansed out of neighborhoods that we have lived in for decades. And I'm not saying it is exactly what the Palestinian people are suffering now, but we understand what it means to be pushed off your reservation. Continue, Sister Dolores.
You know, last week I was watching this late night talk show host Trevor Noah, and he's a late night talk show host here in Manhattan, but one evening last week he had the courage to speak about the Israeli Palestinian, like I say, quote unquote conflict, and the power dynamics, and just as he was about to take a commercial break, he mentioned that he hoped that he would be able to come right back on the air. And my thought was then that, and he looked very nervous when he was talking about the imbalance of power between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And my thought was then that he may be receiving flack and backlash for mentioning the imbalance of power. But he, you know, he came back on the air the following day, which was good and reassuring. You know what's going on in Israel and the treatment of the Palestinians. It reminds me of the Indian Removal Act in this country, where Native Americans were forcibly removed from the land, and the land was subsequently given to European settlers. And the Genocide and Ethnic Cleansing Committee of the natives. The Europeans have passed the land on to white descendants since then, and this is land given to white Europeans that belong to the Native Americans that had been living on the land for thousands of years. And I also thought about the Europeans in Israel and South Africa who never practiced peaceful coexistence. And remembering also that Israel supported the whites in South Africa. So,
yep.
I mean, and that occurred to me today, too. So, you know, racism is their manifesto, and separate and unequal are their policies. Now, other thing I want to mention is that, I was listening to Gary Bird last week on the air on BAI. And he and Charles Barron, interviewed Gregory Meeks. Meeks is the chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And Meeks basically said that Israel has the right to defend himself. Okay? So, let's put it this way. Today, the CNN and MSNBC, they interviewed Gregory Meeks. And he was originally planning to send a letter to Biden asking for a delay in the transfer of missiles to Israel. But then today he decided not to send a letter to Biden requesting the delay in the transfer of missiles to Israel at the request of the Biden administration. Now, Biden has called for an additional $735 million worth of arms deal between U.S. and Israel. And Meeks moved from not sending the letter to Biden, and it's very frustrating to some progressive Democrats. The progressive Democrats are trying to block the arms deal with Israel, but there seems to be little chance of blocking a of the blocking happening in Congress, given the timeline. Ocasio says that if the arms deal goes through, it will be a green light for continued escalation and will undercut any attempts at brokering ceasefire. This was interviews by MSNBC and CNN of Gregory Meeks today.
Thank you. We got to move on. Yeah. I want to let Sister Gwen say something because I want the people from resistance to give us our marching orders. Sister Gwen, your mic is open. Thank you for waiting. Gwen, are you still there? Okay. Brother Dennis, your mic is open.
Yes. Yes. I'm right here. I was in. Yeah.
Did you want to give us a quick word in terms of how the situation in Louisiana reflects the same colonialism that you are
in the
world?
In short, I was in the Black Power Unites with Palestine yesterday. Sister Gayla out of Palestine was saying that she could be next. I'm also going to say that we need world revolution now. This is no more trying to sit. It's no more trying to sit back begging a politician who's not going to do what we know they should do. It's no more time for that. Biden is not going to intervene. Biden is no different than Donald Trump. The Lebanese and the Palestinians on the Gaza Strip are being murdered. We're being murdered in this country. We've been murdered in Colombia. We've been murdered all over the globe. Right now, everybody that is in lockstep, we're beginning to discuss world revolution. World revolution. It's good time. We don't need any more conversation. We don't need to beg anymore. We need to stop begging because they're not going to listen to us because what? They're the colonizers. I'll say that they knocked out Al Jazeera, the AP. All of that happened just a few days ago. They knocked out all the reporters, any information, communication. So Hamas cells were in the building. That's what the claim was. I'll say this to you. When I saw a child, and then I'm going to get off because I know you got to go further, but I'll still stand by because I had so much to talk about. I was in Columbus, Ohio with the New Black Panther Party this weekend. On Saturday, we saw and met the families who saw the murder of Micaiah Bryant, saw it in person. This 2-year-old girl named Gianna, who is traumatized. She's outside, and this cop, this killer, this murderer, this butcher, shot that child in the back 4 times. These atrocities are occurring on a constant, ever-going cycle, and we are tired of this mess, and we're about to take proactive measures. Black Power, thank you very much.
Brother Dennis, I knew you would bring it home. Sister Gwen is joining us now, and then we'll take it back to Resistance is Resistance. Go ahead, Sister Gwen. We need you to
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, Betty.
Go ahead,
Gwen. Everybody. Hi. I am equally as troubled about what's going on in Palestine and I'm very distressed watching it. And I just hope they don't kill as many people as they did last time. I have a friend at work who is a Palestinian American. And, you know, it just, when you get to know somebody closely, it's mind-boggling to think that her family is still over there, and they're probably, you know, involved in this. They're probably getting smacked down by Israel, and these are very nice people. I got to say to people, you know, how would you feel? I heard on an interview this week a guy
I want to get back to the Palestinians. So they what
right.
I'm asking
well, that's what I was talking about, but I'll pass for tonight, okay? Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Back next and give us more. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
What do you want first?
Yeah. I'll speak. This is Nancy. There's a couple of things I just want to address. Trevor Noah's piece, you know what? Do I believe that he's pro-Palestinian 100%? Is there time to be on the fence and do what he did, which is really dangerous, honestly? The same way, you know, various artists have been speaking out. Rihanna, for example, has millions of viewers who now think that Palestinians have bomb shelters. So the thing is, at this point now, in 2021, we cannot be in the middle. Choose a side and be on it. That's it. Trevor Noah is tiptoeing. There's no time for tiptoeing. I'm not, it's very, very frustrating when people can't just say, I mean, he made the analogy of him being a kid and beating up his little brother. not really the situation. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just feel like we need to stop being on the fence. There is no more fence. The fence is down. You got to choose a side, and that's how it is. And you either speak out and you go full force or shut up. That's really what it is.
Well,
the other thing I wanted to say is we have to start making Israelis feel unwelcome wherever they are, because you assume that they were in the army. Military, they have to go into the military by law. And so we have to start making them feel unwelcome everywhere they go. That's what we have to do. They are baby killers. They are baby murderers. They are murderers. That's it.
And please follow Existence is Resistance online. Existence is Resistance.
See everybody.
Free Palestine.
And Wajud McCullough.
Instagram at Existence is Resistance. One word. Thank you so much for having us on. Free Palestine. More power to the resistance. Free them all.
Victory.
You are welcome back
to
at any time. Brother Ralph, take us home.
Yes, thank you,
Ralph. Thank you so much.
We have chosen the side. We have chosen the side of justice, the side of justice, the side of the Palestinians. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for listening this evening. We will bring you more information that you will not get in any other place.
Thank you, everyone. And again, Existence is Resistance, you are always welcome here. Thank you.